Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, in the immortal words of Frank Sinatra, start spreading the news. Yeah, start spreading the news, folks. May 17th is going to be the prayer service day at the State Capitol. That's right, folks. The little thing that I put out there yesterday is starting to spread around the internet and on Facebook and other places. Yeah, we're working on that, folks. There is a pastor from Salem that had a conversation with me yesterday, and he's kind of taking the lead on this. I kind of doubt that the Salem Ministerial Association is going to, you know, really try to get out in front of this thing. I think it'll be done individually, but it needs to be done, and it is time. Don't you think? Don't you think it's time that we, as people of faith, Christians, stand up and say, you know what? We're going to go back to church. Kate Brown, if you can open up bars, restaurants, as you're planning to do, as if you can allow people to go into Safeway, socially distanced, into Lowe's, Walmart, why can't you let people go to church? I think that's a profound question that needs to be answered. So we are planning this. It is, and the way you do this is very simple. You make contact with the state capitol staff and you ask them for a permit to go ahead and hold a rally. They're going to tell you no. And once they do that, then we have a decision to make that this is going to be the exercise of our fundamental constitutionally guaranteed rights to peaceably assemble. Now, we're going to talk more about this as we go along, but I also want, I told you I would get to Professor Hinckley. And in the Professor Hinckley piece, there is a profound danger for Donald Trump. Truly profound. And people are starting to talk about it. It was something I kind of wanted to get to yesterday, but the show just didn't lend itself to do that yesterday. But I want to get into more of the Professor Hinckley piece. There's a lot here, and it raises a lot of questions, things for us to consider, things that you can use in your world to, again, persuade the persuadable, talk to people, get them to be thinking about, well, what's really going on here? It's your opportunity to help people change for a lifetime what they believe, what they think, how to think more critically. There's a lot to unpack here today. Also, well, let me ask you this. Is Kate holding back federal virus relief money for rural counties to hurt them on purpose? Because she's not releasing the money. Oh, she did to Portland and the Portland Tri-County area, but not the rural counties. As a story from Medford, Jackson County commissioner says she needs to let that money go. So why would she do this? Is it possible that she's thinking as she is asking for, and every news story that is about this issue of the $1.4 billion that have come to the state of Oregon already from the federal government for coronavirus relief, it is possible that she is asking, well, we know she's asking Trump to loosen the rules so she can use it. For what? Not to go to the counties, folks, but to keep unionized workers working for the state of Oregon, paying their union dues, which then means they have money to give into Democrat campaign coffers. That's what she's doing, in my opinion. She's holding off on disseminating this money that under the federal rules is supposed to go to the counties. And they're complaining about it. Now think about that. Rural counties that typically vote Republican are being punished by Kate Brown. And Kate Brown gets to keep that money, at least temporarily, so she can keep state employees working who are paying union dues to unions, unions that give 99.99% of their money to Democrat candidates for office. Something about that just doesn't feel right, does it? Again, she is bank. She cannot use that money for the moment. She's just sitting on it, folks. She's asking the Treasury Department under Mnuchin to do what? To loosen the rules so she can use it to keep unionized employees working. And they automatically get their union dues deducted. The unions get that automatically from us. It's their ATM. It's the taxpayer-funded ATM machine to the unions, and they turn around and give it right back to the Democrat candidates. How fair is that? By the way, there's another story. We probably won't get to it today, but it is interesting. I'll have it on the show plan, but it's a Willamette Week story. It's about this OHSU data scientist who early on created this model about what would happen if we didn't do, if we didn't lock ourselves down unconstitutionally. He predicted, well, the same thing that scared the living daylights out of Trump. And it was all based on models, and it was done early. What was his input data? China, folks. Do you believe anything coming out of China? I don't, and neither should you. And by the way, the Salem salon owner is a lady. I saw her interviewed by the name of Lindsey Graham. No, not the U.S. Senator. She's going to reopen. It's the Glamour Salon. I don't know exactly where it's located, but I will tell you she's running a huge risk because they're going to pull her license. They're already threatening to do it. Again, will you go down and support her? Will you go down to her salon and stand in front of that with a sign, with an American flag? I'm quite serious. I think you should. I think you should consider it. All right, May 17th is the day we're planning for the prayer service at the Capitol. Civil disobedience, our constitutional right? Yes. And why are we doing that? Because it's been done before. In fact, there's a. I wrote a little thing that I put out on Facebook, not on my Facebook page last night, but rather on a friend's, and it's going out statewide. Nothing new here about people in the church, pastors that are advocating for something even greater than civil disobedience, peaceful civil disobedience. In 1776, an Anglican pastor, reverend, by the name of Peter Muhlenberg, gave a sermon from Ecclesiastes 3. You know that famous time for there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And in his comments, he said, that time is past. The time for prayer is past. And with that, he pulled off his robe. And to the shock of his congregation, displayed a military uniform and a brace of pistols and a sword by his side. Unbeknownst to them, he had been commissioned in the forming, at that time, military, the Revolutionary Continental Army. He asked, he went to the back of the church, and he said, "Who is with me?" And reportedly about 300, it was a very large church, about 300 men stood up and joined him. That became the founding of the 8th Virginia Regiment, which went on, which he helped command. He rose to the, during the Revolutionary War, was a very able general. My point is, he was a pastor, and he preached it from the pulpit. If you don't believe me, You can read about it. Now, there are some historians, if you go to Wikipedia, they say, well, that may not have happened. There's lots of other people who say it did happen. And one thing we know for sure is that a pastor went to war. Now, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about encouraging anything on May 17th that would be any semblance of violent revolutionary war. But we are talking about standing up for our constitutional rights. And you got to remember, back in 1776, we had no constitution. We were under the tyranny of the crown. But this pastor knew that he had to take a stand for liberty, friends. And that's what we're going to be doing on May 17th. Spread the word. It's time for Christians of various Christian churches to take a stand for faith, for liberty, our right to worship our God, to peaceably assemble. Now, my guess is that it would probably make sense, even though I think it's somewhat ineffective, that you wear a mask, and it would probably make sense that we maintain a little distance from each other at this service, which means if a lot of churches show up and a lot of Christians show up, whether you're Catholic or evangelical, doesn't matter. And frankly, I think we ought to extend it out to synagogues. Probably not the Muslims. They don't really serve the same God we do, even though they say they do. And certainly not to the satanic churches out there. Now, why would I say that? Well, they definitely don't serve the same God we serve. They don't serve God at all. They serve Satan. But yet, I find it ironic that even though I would say that, and I don't want those people anywhere near us, because they're evil, they're quite the opposite of everything that Christ stood for and died for. What we're standing for is their right to have their own Church of Satan, which I despise, and will fight against in the prayer realms with every part of my being. But yet, our liberty extends to them also. May 17th. Friends, I want to remind you that if you're out there and you're working around your place and you got all kinds of yard debris, maybe you're doing a home remodel project, you need to haul stuff away, you need to take it to Clayton Ward Recycling. Right here in Salem, been in business 50 years, family-owned business. Easy in, easy out, no waiting. They're right off the Salem Parkway at Mainline Drive. Clayton Ward Recycling. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Saturday, 7 to 3. You probably should give them a call ahead of time to figure out what you need to pay for and what you don't need to pay for, because some stuff you take there, you don't need to pay for. 503-393-8700. Back in a moment, friends, at 6:20 in the morning. Get into Professor Hinckley's piece in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us today. Look, emails, by the way, also to jeff@1220.am, like the one I got from David. So two quick points for you. First, at every opportunity, I remind people Kate Brown only won the election, the first election, by 1,999 votes. Every other voter voted for somebody else on the ballot. He said, regressives are predictable. Remember when Bernie Sanders and many other regressives extolled the virtues of Western European and Scandinavian countries? Well, Western European medical infrastructure has quickly been crumbling and in some places overwhelmed by COVID-19. Unlike us, in these countries, there have been No public-private partnerships to retool and gear up making needed medical equipment and personal protective equipment. No European drug company has expedited its research and manufacture of treatment, of potential treatment drugs. Of course, not a peep from the progressives regarding these circumstances. Best of all, the Swedish government put forth recommendations for staying healthy and then allowed citizens to make their own choices while businesses, commercial, and leisure activities continued. South Dakota did the same thing. Anything from the regressives on Sweden's approach to the problem or South Dakota? Of course not. Stay safe and sane. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's really good. And right on the money. Professor Hinckley's piece. You can see it if you read it. And it is quite long, but it is just inescapable. The conclusions here. And I talked about some of them yesterday. I think one of the most profound one is this. Whose data do you believe? Are you going to believe models or are you going to believe actual results? You know, common sense says to me that the reality is this. Why were we fearful about COVID-19? Well, because it is a very aggressive virus that affects a particular group of people. Apparently, it doesn't affect children. We've not seen loss of life from COVID-19 with children. But boy, we've seen it with the flu, haven't we? Far worse on children with the flu than COVID-19. Was it necessary to shut down schools? Well, apparently not, because Sweden didn't. By and large, they didn't. They did shut down some other schools. But one of the escapable things here is that kids are not getting sick from COVID-19. So one of the other things that's interesting here is that social distancing outside, there's no data that says outside that it works. And in fact, the data is just the opposite for being inside. Even the New York Times conceded this point. Again, this is all in the Professor Hinckley piece today, well, actually from yesterday. But there is lots of data that the thing that Kate Brown said and the regressive totalitarian Marxist, including Donald Trump's advisors, said, and that the president agreed with, the very thing that you should not do, people are doing it. What is that? Staying home in a very closed environment for an extended period of time. All the actual data shows that's what infects people. It is not going out and walking around. In fact, it's not even in a retail store. It's not on a beach or in a city park or walking down the sidewalk or in a church, because your time there is very limited. Or frankly, in a restaurant, because your time there is limited. But if you're stuck at your place of work for hours and hours on end, and people are hacking and coughing, you're going to get sick with something if you're not really careful. Now, let me just share this with you. Here's the danger to Donald Trump. And it's what Britt Hume has quoted in his Fox News interview with Shannon Bream. He said, and I quote, "I think it's time to consider the possibility, Shannon, that this lockdown, as opposed to a more moderate mitigation efforts, is a colossal public policy calamity. That the damage done to the economy that I see businesses are closing, many may not reopen. Those jobs will be lost. Those businesses will be lost. Those incomes will be lost. Plus the effect on children who don't have their normal life." This is the danger to Trump. And the Democrats are already beginning to try this meme to hurt Donald Trump by saying our response to all of this was a failure. Now, many of them have been advocating for the same thing. But, of course, the news media is going to let them get away with it, aren't they? This is the this is what may damage Trump worse than anything, is that all the negatives with how we approach this when people realized how they have been bamboozled by computer models, by politicians and media overhyping this thing for their own political advantage. Once people figure that out, who's going to get the blame? Democrat governors, Republican governors who believed in it, locked their states down, or Donald Trump? Friends, I want to remind you that one of the ways you can stay safe is very simply to contact our friends at Freedom Heating and Air. Not only can they keep your home safe with new filtration systems like UV light systems that have been proven to kill bacteria and all kinds of bacteria, not just COVID-19, but everything else. You can keep your home safe so that you're not cooped up in a tight environment with someone who might be carrying, quote unquote, the disease, the virus, without knowing it. You can help keep your place safe. Why don't you check it out? Freedom Heating and Air. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net, not .com, .net. They've been in business 50 years here in Salem. They're one of our great advertisers that need your support. More importantly, they can help keep you safe and healthy. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Now, when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about some of the things here in the Professor Hinckley article from yesterday. Because facts are stubborn things. They're facts. Are we going to believe facts, or are we going to believe computer models? Are we going to stand up as Christians on May 17th and have a church service on the steps of the Capitol? I'm going to be there. Back.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Yes, I remembered to turn my microphone on this time. Hey, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Professor Hinckley article from yesterday. There's a lot to unpack here, but also Kate Brown is being accused by a Jackson County commissioner out of Medford of withholding funds from the federal government that Oregon has already received that's specifically meant for counties. Oregon's gotten $1.4 billion. The Portland metro counties have gotten their money, but not the rural counties. Why is she? I mean, it's a lot of money, folks. Why is she holding it? Well, she's already said why she's holding it. She's asking the Treasury Department for flexibility in their rules to not give it to the rest of the rural counties. She's not saying that in so many words. She wants to keep the money to keep state employees working. They're unionized state employees. Their union dues are automatically deducted at our expense as taxpayers, by the way, and given to the unions, who then give it to Democrats running for office. That's a truism, folks. She is withholding funds, according to news stories, from rural counties. She is saying she's asking for flexibility to use the money instead of giving it to the rural counties that are mostly Republican. She's already given it to the Democrat counties. Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas, but not the rural counties. What kind of person would do that? What kind of person would say, well, I'm going to give it to those people, but not the rest of you, because you're Republicans, they're Democrats. And I'm going to try to keep the money. I'm going to ask the federal government to let us spend it on keeping state employees working. Again, this show is about giving you ideas, comments that you can make in your world to get other people to wake up, to start thinking. May 17th is the rally day. We're praying. We're going to be praying at the state capitol. In fact, we're going to have a church service. I'd like it to be interfaith. I hope it works out that way. Evangelicals, Catholics, doesn't matter. Jewish friends, those of us who believe in God Almighty and that Christ died for our sins, which, sort of leaves out the Satanists, and it certainly leaves out the Buddhists and others. Yet the same liberty, constitutional rights that we have to choose to worship, to choose to peaceably assemble, applies to them too, doesn't it? But we don't want them anywhere near. May 17th, put it on your calendar. I'm going to be there. I hope you will be too. Corby writes this about Kate and the church. By the way, you want to send me an email? It's jeff@1220.am. Said, I would guess that Kate put the church openings last in the hope that people will override her low IQ plan. Since the demons like Kate have already announced this, that this virus will be back this fall as they release round number two, watch her try to blame Christians and patriots. Her plan will fail miserably. I think you're right. I think they will try to blame Christians, patriots, anybody who believes in personal liberty, anybody who believes in your constitutional rights. The government should not, cannot keep us locked down forever. And that's one of the missives that is well talked about in the Professor Hinckley piece. Because the reality is this. We've moved from flattening the curve to eliminating the virus. Even Trump has fallen prey to this. This is why I say that he's in danger if he does not change course quickly. And I think he's starting to figure it out. If he doesn't change course quickly, he's going to get blamed for this. As people realize over time, it wasn't necessary to destroy our economy, destroy our lives, to deal with this thing. Now, my prediction is that you will know, here's my prediction, listen to this, friends. You will know that that is the main direction of the Democrats if they start talking about how Trump unnecessarily hurt the economy. When they change their entire direction and start laying it on Trump, you know that's going to be their main line of attack against him this summer. But they'll also try to blame it on Christians. They'll also try to blame it on the patriots. In the Professor Hinckley piece, Dr. Scott Atlas from Stanford University explained last week in a New York Times post, science says, and this is the headline, it's time to start easing the lockdowns. And Glenn, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in a moment. I want to make this point here. He wrote, first, we know that the risk of dying from COVID-19 is far lower than initially thought and not significant for the overwhelming majority of those who are infected. Multiple recent studies from Iceland, Germany, USC, Stanford, and New York City all suggest the fatality rate, if infected, is likely far lower than early estimates. Perhaps under 0.1%, 10 to 40 times lower than estimates that motivated extreme isolation, even in the Big Apple. You see, folks, most of the people dying in the Big Apple in New York City, which is 1/3 of all U.S. deaths, the people age 75 and over. It is stunning, folks. Dr. Atlas cites 5 separate studies that all show how much more of the population has already been exposed to COVID-19 than we previously thought, which allows us to calculate a true fatality rate for COVID-19. The reality is, folks, We should not have been locked down because of computer models, because of an OHSU data scientist. That story's on watchdog.com here in Oregon. OregonWatchdog.com. I also have it on the show plan. You'll be able to see it once I finally get my podcast updated. He also predicted, this scared the living daylights out of Kate Brown, scared the living daylights out of Donald Trump, the IMHE model. They were all wrong, and they were all based on faulty assumptions. And what were those early models based on? China. So what are we going to believe, friends? Are we going to believe actual data about what? Infection rate? Well, as Dr. Atlas cites, infection doesn't lead to death. Here's the death rate, even though this is very aggressive against a particular group of people, like elderly people, like my father, which I'm being very careful with in terms of, I'm just not around him much, even though he's 50 yards away in the house from the farm shop. I'm not spending time with him because I don't want to be carrying this thing unbeknownst to that because he's vulnerable. But to the rest of us, it's called herd immunity. That's why I believe, and the data is starting to show this more and more, that far more of us were infected with this thing and never got sick. Or if we did get sick, it didn't hurt us any more or didn't seem like any different than the flu, a bad case of the flu. And we locked ourselves down for that. Let's go to Glenn, who's on the line. Glenn, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
Yeah, Jeff, I do like this concept of the 17th. It makes good sense. Salem is an interesting town, though. It is a state capital, but it had some similarities to me from a gone-by day of Los Angeles. Salem has a lot of people of faith and churches of faith. It has a rescue mission, and people of faith are very active in Salem. Back in the early days of Los Angeles, we had the rescue missions working together. The police chief of Los Angeles, Daryl Gates, was very much in touch with the rescue missions. Even the Church of the Open Door had a huge influence in downtown Los Angeles. If ever people remember the pastor of the Church of the Open Door, it escapes me the name, and the huge outreach that had to the city of Los Angeles. And the secular and the faith kind of ran parallel in unison and didn't throw things in the face of one another as we see today. And I think here in Salem, we have that same similarity back in those days. We have several churches of influence in Salem, a police chief, I think, that is of faith, and I think they would have better influence with, even in contact with the governor who sits in that city. That wasn't true of Los Angeles because the governorship was in Sacramento, and they didn't withhold money at that time. They equally distributed the money out of Sacramento to the counties. And there again is it's disproportionate. But that's why I like your idea. And the pastors, especially in the city that are speaking up now, they have a good insight into what's happening.
It's time, Glenn. You're right. Salem has a rich heritage of faith. It's time for that faith community to rise up, but not just Salem, all over the state. And I'll share with you my conversation. Call
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment. I want to remind you, talking about people of faith, Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations, is a man of faith, and he puts the word righteous in the name of his company. That's a tall order to be able to fulfill that. But he does. Don't believe me? Go to his website, righteousrenovations.com, and just check out the comments from people that have had Eric come and do work at his home, your home. Righteousrenovations.com. Another one of our great small local business people that need your support, folks. Truly do. RighteousRenovations.com. In talking with this pastor related a story, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it involved a whole lot of pastors. And, some interaction they had with the governor's office. They felt betrayed with what ultimately came out of that. My own pastor, and I don't know if he was part of this, but his comments from Sunday indicate to me, and I have yet to talk with him about it, but I will. His comments his comments about, I'm sorry, I'm reading a post from a pastor, by the way, a text message. His comments about being betrayed were in the context of forgiveness. But he's not used those terms before. And in talking with this pastor in Salem, quite frankly, that's how they felt. That's why it's time to stand up, folks. Yes, we can forgive. There's no question about it. And I urge you, you know I do this. Please pray for this governor, that she would see the light of liberty in her heart and her soul. It's not what she believes, folks. She needs to see it. She needs to act on it. Truly needs to act on it. Go to the phones. We'll start first with Art. Art, good morning, friend.
Good morning, Jeff. We need more facts, not fiction. I think Hinckley's on the right trail here. I mean, obviously, living conditions definitely contribute to the spread of the virus. You know, here in Marion County, Jeff, there's a hot spot. Woodburn, a lot of people getting it out there. Why is that, Jeff? I think it has to do with living conditions. The subways, the buses, all these things have affected the spread of the virus and are going to continue to spread the virus. It's inevitable, and there's nothing... I mean, we can do certain things, social distancing, maybe wearing a mask, but this virus is going to affect the general population. I know it. Mr. Hinckley knows it. And so let's do the best we can to protect the vulnerable. Let's address the issues that we know exist, like multiple families living in households that go out and work every day and then bring the virus back, and it affects the whole family. I mean, you know, this is all no-brainer stuff. However, our state government doesn't want to analyze all of that and say, hey, we got to address this issue in a better manner. And, of course, you know, Kate has us where she wants us, and that's why she's doing what she's doing, including the thing about churches. It's just ridiculous. I'm very disappointed in our state leadership, and we're just addressing this problem completely wrong, and it's just really sad because
it is, my friend, and that's why. And I got to let you go, friend, because I need to move on to Gail in a moment. But it's precisely why we need to show up and have a church worship and prayer time together, multiple churches coming together, multiple faiths to stand for our liberty and to send a profound message, a powerful message. And you know what the most powerful message is going to be? It's not the words we say. It is the power of prayer on the steps of that Capitol building. If you want to be safe, you want to build your immune system, try some CBD. CBD oil. I use it. It works for me. I sleep so much better, but it also builds my immune system. Go to pro-bioscience.com. This month, May, is Mother's Day, this coming weekend. And our discount code for a 15% discount, if you buy online at pro-bioscience.com, that code for a 15% discount is MOM, M-O-M, MOM. Build your immunity. Sleep better. Deal with your body issues so much better. Works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. Pro-bioscience.com. Let's go to Gail. Gail, good morning and your thoughts. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Jeff. I think you're reading my notes because on they say with prayer there will be blessings, and we will be there on May 17th. We're Catholic. And I know that there will be a lot of other Catholics there, and the Catholics have a special weapon. Maybe you know about that, Jeff, but it's called the rosary. And there will be many, many rosaries there, I'm sure. And that rosary is basically a scripture prayer with a lot of Our Fathers and focusing on the different verses in the Bible, and that's a historically a beautiful weapon that the Catholic Church has had, and they will be there on May 17th.
That's music to my ears, Gail, and it does my heart good to hear you call, because that's my goal here, that everyone who believes in Christ and the power of the cross, whether it's Catholic or evangelical, we come together and we pray. And we stand firm.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Gail, I appreciate your thoughts. That's good to know. And I hope, friends, that you share this around.
We will.
There's a Facebook post out there. It's going to be posted and reposted by – it's already out there. Again, it's this little missive that I wrote on Facebook about about the May 17th rally and about Peter Muhlenberg, the Anglican – Reverend, who stood in front of his church and advocated for going to war. Well, this is a different kind of warfare. This is spiritual warfare. It's us joining together, May 17th, steps of the Capitol. Let's do it, friends. Let's do it. Be blessed, each and every one of you. Thanks for listening. I deeply appreciate it. Remember our governor in prayer. Remember our advertisers, our small business. Be blessed. See you tomorrow.